Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process. Well, good morning and welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we'll be talking about the new moon on October 12th of this year at 8.06 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The new moon is a new beginning, and everything born has the characteristics of the moment. This lunation will be opposed, Uranus, so expect the unexpected. There is also a T-square between Venus and Mars in Virgo, opposing Neptune in Pisces and square Saturn in Sagittarius, shedding light on what we desire. We will talk about how to use your Kriya Yoga practice to attune yourself to the life force and experience the benefit of prana power. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and feel connected to pure power. So, Swami, this new moon really sounds like it's packed a lot of punches here. But what exactly does it mean? What do you mean when you say everything born has the characteristics of the moment? How should we interpret that and apply that to our daily life today?
Well, I think what it's saying is that the celestial planets they create a mathematical relationship between themselves, which kind of sets up an energy field. And so anything that is born under that particular energy field, it will have the characteristics of that. And so that's one of the ways that you can kind of use your astrology. To try and give you some insight into what's available at a given time. And so with a new moon, which is, you know, for me, it's the concept of a new beginning. You know, it's always great to start something new. It's to do something fresh. And so this here particular new moon has some characteristics to it that really lend itself for, first of all, starting something new, something different, and also having that kind of sense of letting go of things that have outlived themselves, things that may no longer be serving us any longer.
Right.
You know, so that it's not always constantly adding on. You know, I mean, life is a give and take. So that you are drawing in the new, you're refreshing something, but at the same time, you know, there are aspects that are no longer useful to us.
Right, I see. Is that kind of like, you know, like sometimes you're involved with certain people or relationships or even work, and then sometimes, you know, those people or a work environment, say, just doesn't quite feel right, and so we should listen to these urges that we get from the universe, and like you say, when it no longer suits us, we should have the courage to let these things go, whether it's people, relationships, work, whatever it is. So we have to have the foresight and the courage to say, okay, this isn't working for me anymore. I have to move on.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. And I think that's one of the reasons why when you do have a practice of Kriya Yoga and you do have the benefit of internal support, a lot of times you're not drawing off your outside world. So in other words, like you're not asking the outside world to be anything for you. And it kind of puts you in a position of strength so that you don't have or develop unnecessary dependencies on things mm-hmm. that particularly have outlived themselves. You know, that you can still be intelligent in your decision making and objective. And then just like you said, if you have internal support, you're not needy for external reinforcement. So you're better equipped to let go of things that have outlived themselves in the outside world, and independent of what departments in your life that might affect. You know, like you say, it could be work, it could be friends, family. You know, things change. And to be able to constantly refresh your life so that mm-hmm. things don't become stale and stagnant and in a lot of cases, you know, corrosive and toxic. And
right. And isn't there that saying that the only constant is change? And I think we can learn a lot just from that saying alone, is that we have to understand that in order for us to grow, there has to be some change that happens. I mean, I think I've even heard you say so much in our Theory 2 classes on Thursday night, is that we have to make these changes, not just intellectually, but even on other deeper levels, even on a cellular level, we have to make changes.
Right. And that's a big part, again, coming back to the Kriya Yoga that we teach, because we really employ the second stage of yoga, the niyama, purification, purity. Because on so many levels, purity is our ability to think, to feel, to say and do one and the same thing. Because that's one of the things you might notice oftentimes when you're interacting with people is oftentimes people will say one thing, but then they'll do something completely different. And chances are they feel something alien to the above. And so from my perspective, those people are what we call scattered. And so in order to really have that element of purity, to think, feel, say, do one and the same thing, you really have to be introspective, analytical, observant, reflective. You really have to be kind of proactive with shaping your reality. So if you're accustomed to being on top of your life, and then, of course, like with a new moon like today, I mean, today is a chance for you to freshen up your whole life if you want to. Go through each department in your life and just do a little house cleaning. And maybe
so
add something new. Start a new chapter.
Right. So using a labyrinth could be a tool that we could use that could assist in doing that very thing, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, especially, you know, some people that are accustomed to using the labyrinth on a regular basis. Again, think mm-hmm. about what you're doing. You know, I mean, you don't have to wait for the new moon. I can freshen up my day every day.
Right. I suppose that's true, right? Now, on the description, we said that the lunation will be opposed Uranus, so expect mm-hmm. the unexpected. So what kind of interplay does Uranus have over Libra? Is there something that we have to specifically... maybe is there something specific that we can look forward to?
Well, to answer your question, it's very individual. a lot of it's because some people like unexpected change. Some people are petrified of change. So depending on where you are individually in your life and what your preferences are, Uranus transits can be terribly frightening and disruptive, and for other people they're exciting. And in a lot of respects, Uranus is a really interesting image in astrology because Uranus, as far as I'm concerned, is the power of the creative principle. It is this light that casts no shadow, this indivisible, unified state that we're actually trying to internalize, to connect to.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, with the way that we incarnate and the way we come into a lifetime, there's kind of a conspiracy that's going on that's trying to disconnect us from this power of the creative principle. And it has to do with, in Kriya Yoga, the path of descending prana, the path from the feminine terminal of your third eye center, which is ruled by the moon, and the feminine terminal of your root center, which is ruled by Saturn. And this conspiracy between the moon and Saturn is typically designed to castrate the power of the creative principle and leave us in the realms of desire. And so a big part of a yoga practice is, first of all, understanding that this is a possibility, and then how do you train yourself so that you don't undermine this really subtle force, that if you can connect to it, will change who you are.
So I want to, back when you were talking about desire, and in the description we said it will shed light on what we desire, and that's something we have talked about in many radio shows. What we desire, you know, depends on where we are, you know, from a human nature, an animal nature, or a divine nature. So this is something that we could use to really catapult our practice, in that if we want to desire this relationship with the divine, now would be a really good time to, I would imagine, would be a good time to kind of jumpstart your practice in that.
Oh, absolutely. But again, Uranus is an interesting planet. It's just like outside of our field of awareness, that some have said that, you know, Uranus can be sighted, you know, by a trained eye that knows where to look. And so the whole thing of connecting to spirit is something that we really have to be taught how to do this from somebody who mm-hmm. can do it. And one of the things that we always talk about anyway is the whole thing of how we don't really have really crisp leadership with regard to what is it to be spiritual. It's mm-hmm. kind of like a category now that we've define that you can dispatch anything into this category and it no longer requires any further explanation. And of course, like what you said, in our program, being spiritual is a very specific experience. And it's not something that happens spontaneously to you. It's something that you have to make happen as a result of making a change from a human that is desiring something that's visible and tangible, or invisible and tangible to a human being that now desires something that's invisible and intangible.
Mm-hmm.
And as all of us know, I mean, it's not an easy catch. And there's so many ways that it goes wrong, and there's only one way that it goes right. And so when you have an astrological configuration that would really kind of give you this kind of cosmic support in your ability to do that is great. It's kind of like if you were sailing and all of a sudden now the wind is blowing in the direction that you want to go. The whole key there is that you just have to open up the sails and let the wind pull you where you're going. But for the most part, you still have to know how to sail.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's a great analogy. Well, you know what we're going to do, Swellings? We're going to pause. We're going to hold that thought for a moment so we can hear a word from our sponsors or listeners. We'll return with you shortly. And when we come back, if you have any questions for Swami, I'll open it up for our listeners to do so at that time. So we'll be with you in a few moments.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods. A complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Starting with the separation from mother, including the labors and tasks of the hero and the return as a whole person. Practice makes perfect only when practice is whole. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. Samadhi, or total consciousness, is experienced by knowing and doing with devotion. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
Welcome back. For those of you who are just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So I know we have some listeners out there this morning. If you have a question for Swami, you can ask him right now.
Good morning. I have a question.
Okay.
So earlier you were talking about everything born has a characteristic of the moment, and so the characteristics of the individual can sometimes have some of the characteristics of whatever that universal energy field was when the individual was born. So, for example, if someone was born on October 12th, what would be some of those, would there be even a higher degree of impact of this new moon just because of the timing of it?
Well, to answer your question, yeah, because if you were born on this particular day, then your sun would be within aspect of this particular configuration. So, and the sun is a really powerful planet in our natal chart. So this would be an amplifier for your natal sun. And then, of course, anything else that would be in aspect to your natal sun at that given time would also be amplified.
Ah, okay.
So it is very individual.
That's interesting, because I was going to ask a similar question, because my mother was actually born on October 18th. So I was going to ask you if that is your sign Libra, you know, does this new moon, would that have a different effect or a more powerful effect, if you will, for somebody who is in that particular sign?
Well, again, I think it's this same answer, only it wouldn't be as strong, because it would be within in aspect, but it would be a little bit further away than if it was the actual day. It would be closer.
Right.
So it would be similar.
So it really wouldn't matter if this was your month or your day. We all can take advantage of the energy that the universe is providing for us this particular time. I just don't want our listeners to think that they're not going to be able to harness the kind of energy that's out there.
Right, and that's true for anything. That's one of the reasons why we kind of use astrology to give us insight, but we really use a metaphysical or a mystical system to give us the ability to throttle, regulate, and manage psychic energy.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you don't have to wait for any particular astrological condition.
Right.
You can pretty much acclimate yourself so that you can use the energy that's available to you at a given time in a way that would still enable you to move your life in a direction that you wanted it to go, if that helps.
No, it sure does. But I have another question, and again, I guess because I'm still learning about a lot of the astrology terminology, when we had mentioned earlier that there is a T-square between Venus and Mars in Virgo, exactly what is a T-square?
Okay, what you have is a configuration where there are, well, let's see, planets that have an opposition. So you've got Venus and Mars are opposing Neptune. And then the square part, which is something that's 90 degrees to that,
okay,
is that now Venus is squaring Saturn. So it kind of sets up it's kind of a stress point. It's a call to action. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes.
Oh.
Oppositions are typically, you know, it's cooperate or separate kind of a thing. Because if you think about an opposition, you're 180 degrees from something, which means that it's in full view. A square is 90 degrees to that. And a square is more of a margin energy. It's more, again, a call to action to do something.
Hmm. So kind of like what we've been talking about, you know, this call to action to either what we desire or attuning ourselves to the life force. So all of this is kind of like prodding us, if you will, towards that practice, that behavior that's going to get us going into our practice.
Yeah, a lot of it is, it's really kind of life's way of testing where we are in our personal development. You know, like if you're going through, let's say, for example, a stress aspect and you're experiencing difficulties, oftentimes that can be an indicator, you know, of maybe checking and see, like just what you said, like what is it that's causing this conflict?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times what we find, it's my personal interest, my need for a particular outcome or return or that I might not be getting. And where what we learn in Kriya Yoga is that when you make this conversion and you now draw from a resource of energy that's unchanging, more reliable, more dependable, that you're no longer looking for that return from the outside world. Now, the internal connection doesn't necessarily negate what's actually happening on a physical level, but a lot of times what it does is it just makes it smaller. You know, because being spiritual isn't a loss of self-conscious awareness. It's a more inclusive point of identification. So in other words, like, something that might be devastating to one person might just be a disappointment to another, if that helps or answers your question.
Right, I understand that. So what we need to understand, I think, is that the practice is what enriches our life on a daily basis. It's not, that's something, that's like a byproduct of our practice, but it's not, we shouldn't look at it as a result, because we don't want to have a judgment on our results. I think we need to understand that it's through the practice that we get this sense of this all-inclusiveness with our divinity.
Yeah, it's actually the connection where now all of a sudden you're drawing from a resource of energy that is supporting you internally. That your whole sense of self is totally established based on the availability of what you really do need. That gives you a handle. That gives you an anchor. So that when things in the outside world change, things in the outside world disappoint, they fail, they betray, then your sense of self is still intact. You may be disappointed, you may be sad, you may be frustrated, but you're not in crisis per se.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I mean when I say that. It just makes it smaller.
Right. I like it when you say that, you know, you can live days without food, you can, you know, or weeks without food, days without water, but you can't live a millisecond without the life force. And I think if we all put that into perspective and really understand what that statement really means, that I cannot live a millisecond without the life force. I have to understand and really, really drive that connection, because that's what's really sustaining me this very second.
Right. And what you just said, whether we realize it or not, is the underpinnings of all of our religions. That's what all of the scriptures are basically saying, that this concept of put God first really translates into use what you really do need to produce the feeling that you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if collectively more of us were doing that and we realized that in order to actually do that, you needed to separate from your attachment to something that was limiting and connect to something that was expanding, then we would probably have a much different world that we lived in.
Sure. I mean, that stands to reason, exactly. And I think it is about that time, Swami, that we have to start closing down our program. So at this time, I'd like to invite our listeners out there to visit our website. You can follow Swami on Pinterest and Twitter and Facebook. And also available, don't forget, are the online classes that you can through the website, www.ipdtransform.com. You can just click on the online classes, and that link will direct you right to PowHow, and you can make your choices from there. But do keep those comments, questions, and curiosities coming, because we do enjoy hearing from you. And be sure to tune in next week. We're going to discuss how to invest in a resource-based economy, Kriya Yoga style. So, Swami, do you have any final thoughts or comments about our discussion today, or maybe a quick preview on our show for next week?
Well, I would encourage people to just try and do something new today. You know, start a new chapter or whatever. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.